Our scripture lesson for this morning is the scripture that you were repeating a few moments ago with our kids and surrounding verses from Isaiah chapter 43. It's Isaiah 43 verses 1 to 7. But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my sight and honored and I love you, I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Here ends the reading from God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh God, we pray that you would gift us with the grace of your Spirit upon this word, that you would bring it to life, that you would speak into our hearts and into our minds your truth, that we would hear with fresh ears the words of the prophet Isaiah, the mouthpiece of your promises. Speak to us now, Lord, in me, through me, and if need be, in spite of me. Amen. Friday afternoon, I got back from Camp Caroline. It's where I was there all week with 65 of our region's high schoolers, spending the week exploring scripture and swimming in the pool and sailing on the creek there. I was there with four of our youth and two of our adults who gave up their week to be counselors. On Thursday night, the last night of camp, the tradition is that the outgoing seniors who have just graduated and won't be coming back to CYF camp anymore lead the last night of worship. And on this particular year, the seniors chose to create a campfire made of candles, tea lights gathered in the center of the room, and they gathered around this campfire the way that all of us gather around campfires and began to tell stories. And the stories they told were their significant moments in camp, the things that had stood out to them over their 4 years. And one by one, they expressed what the experience had meant to them over the years, how it had been a place where they felt loved and accepted for who they were in the midst of all kinds of the stresses and strains of growing up and leaning into adulthood. They had this place where they could come and feel like they were in a sanctuary of protection and love. A place where they could renew old friendships and make new friendships. A place where they could leave behind the stresses of their lives, which if you ever want to wonder about the stresses that our young people deal with, spend a week at camp and you will hear stories from our young people who are living through things that are far beyond their years. But when they come through the gates of Camp Caroline, they leave it at the gates, and for a week, they can just explore who God has made them to be. And as they spoke and as they cried around that circle, I had the scripture in the back of my mind where God speaks through the prophet Isaiah about the cost of God's deep love for God's people. It's been costly to God to have this deep love for God's people. And I sat and I watched these seniors pour their hearts out and be vulnerable in front of their peers. And I wondered, what is this experience at camp worth if you put a price tag on it? What is it worth for them? What is it worth for the church? What is it worth for the broader culture in which we live that these young people go out into the surging rapids of life that will rise up around them? What these young people who will go out and walk through the fires of change and transition that are in front of them with the knowledge that God's love for them is both deep and real. What's that worth? For them to go from that moment and know that when they pass through the waters, when they walk through the fire, that God is with them. In dollars and cents, I mean, they each pay a few hundred bucks for the week, or their churches do. And 15 or so adults give up a week of their time, and they give up a lot of sleep to make it happen. But that doesn't really seem like a sufficient way to determine the value of an experience like that. Not when those same kids spend the school year constantly aware of the nearest exit, wondering what they would do if it happened at their school. How do you put a price tag on that when kids are constantly navigating the constantly shifting boundaries of social acceptance, of bullies, of the pressure to decide how they will spend the rest of their lives when they're 16 years old? They sat in a circle and their hearts were full of thanks and praise, and they smiled and they laughed and they cried. You tell me what that's worth. I got home Friday, came to pick up kids from VBS, and drove up into the church parking lot, and I got out of the car and there were kids running and playing in the grass and playing games, thanks to Jeremy Ogburn leading them. And Vicky and Anna were on the playground with some kids, and Luke was having the time of his life, and Andrew was tossing mulch into the air. And I came inside, and inside the sanctuary, Becky Sterling was singing with another group of them, and they were dancing around and singing. And if you thought they were singing loud and dancing here, it was way, way more energetic on Friday, singing at the top of their lungs about Zacchaeus. And when it was all over and they were ready to go home, they all sprawled out onto the playground and went running across the grass, crawling around on the ark like ants at a picnic. And there was this picture that here behind these trees, in this little sheltered place, there was sanctuary for them. They could sing and they could dance and they could run and they could be silly and nobody would tell them to slow down or be quiet. And in the midst of that, they could learn something about God in the process of that. And it was so funny to watch them skip around the building, just light as a feather, skipping around the building like they own the place, because they do own this place. So you tell me what that's worth. I'm going to put a price on it. I mean, we budget a few hundred dollars every year in the budget for the curriculum and the music and the decorations, and some of our adults give up a lot of time and energy and risk pulling their hair out to pull it all together, to make sure that the experience is both fun and organized for the kids. But I mean, I'm talking about the looks on their faces. Complete safety, joy, freedom, the grounding in God's story, the playing and the laughing, and the grass under their feet, which is not to be taken for granted. It's not to be taken for granted because there are some for whom this kind of laughter and joy, the kind that you can only express when you feel safe and when you feel valued and when you feel cared for, it's not to be taken for granted because for some, that kind of feeling is worth a trip across the Sonoran Desert in the dark of night, risking everything. For some folks, it is worth showing up and hoping that a nation that is rapidly losing its compassion for each other has not lost its compassion for the vulnerable, not completely at least. No price tag put on it for those who show up hoping that we will finally value the lives of human beings created in the image of God more than we will value a line drawn on a map. When we have the recorded sounds of children terrified by separation, confined to inhospitable places, what are the sounds of children running free in the summer with grass under their feet? What are those sounds worth exactly? Put a price tag on it. Here in Isaiah, God counts the cost of God's deep love for Israel. These are not just generic verses about the promise of God to be with us when life feels overwhelming. It's not just meant as words of comfort to people who wonder if God is present. In the chapters preceding this, Israel, God's beloved children, have felt the pain of separation from God. Isaiah, the prophet, has been speaking to them in the midst of war and desolation and occupation. They have felt the full pain of being separated from God. But here, God renews God's promises of fidelity and love. There's a key transition at the beginning of the passage. You will miss it if you didn't pay attention. It says, but now, God says through Isaiah. It's the key phrase to let us know that something new is happening. This is a renewal. It's a reclaiming. It's a window into the heart of God. I've always had trouble with some of the images we see in the Hebrew Bible. It's one who prefers the gentle, peace-loving Jesus. I have always had trouble with particularly the images of violence we see in the Hebrew Bible. In particular, the flood of water that drowns Pharaoh's army after the Israelites had fled through the parted waters. God is leading the Israelites out of bondage, and God protects Israel as they go out. But what of the human life that is lost in the process? Are those swept away in the water, those conscripted into Pharaoh's army, are they not also children of God, created in God's image? But here in this passage, we hear God's grief about the loss of Egypt. It reframes the moments like the Passover and the plagues that caused so much loss of life. It reframes the Exodus. Because we see into the heart of God that these are not the triumphant moments of victory for good and the defeat of the bad that we felt that they were. These are bittersweet moments for God, whose love for the oppressed is so consuming that it costs God some of God's other children. See, at once God is acting out of love for God's enslaved people, but God is also grieved by the brokenness that is unleashed upon those who would oppress and confine God's people. God is also grieved by Pharaoh's hard-heartedness, by Pharaoh's unwillingness to set God's people free. And so, through Isaiah, God says, this love for Jacob and his descendants is a love that has cost me so much. And when God calls them precious, it is not precious like precious moments. It is not a sentimental term. It's a term that describes the high price to God of insisting on freedom for God's people. And so the question then, for me at least, is how God arrived at a love for this particular people that is this costly. How does God arrive as a parent? How does God arrive at a love for some children that would come at the expense of some others of God's children? This week, one of the stories I recounted for our high school campers was the story of Moses. When God calls Moses, when God comes to Moses in the burning bush to go and confront Pharaoh and demand freedom for God's people, God says to Moses that God has heard the cries of God's people. I have heard their cries, their groaning. Maybe then it is that sound that creates a kind of love within the heart of God that knows no boundaries. Maybe it is the cries of the enslaved, the cries of the oppressed that inflames God's love to such a point that God moves to act out of that love. Maybe there is something that happens to the heart of God when God's people aren't free. When some of God's children are being dehumanized by others of God's children. See, God's love is for everyone. But God's love moves in a profound way on behalf of those who are being stepped on. And the ministry of Jesus embodies this. Love. It embodies the nature of God's heart for the excluded and the exploited. The thread that runs through the whole story is the insistence of God on freedom for all of God's people, even to the point of death of God's own child. This is a costly, costly love that God has for the oppressed and the afflicted. Now, God's love for you and I is just that deep. But it is burning now for those who live under the rule of violence. It is burning now for those who live under the unending cycle of poverty. It is burning for mothers and fathers and children living with the terror of being ripped apart. You don't have to take my word for it. This is the God the Bible teaches us about. And so the call on our lives then is to let that love grow in us. To be transformed ourselves until we are wholly consumed by this love, the same love that God has for God's people. To let it consume us. Let it get a hold of us. Let it burn in us. To get on God's side and lean into God's insistence that all God's children be set free. Because what we know is that God's love is like a mother, like a father. There are no lengths to which God will not go in pursuit of God's children when God's children are at risk. You want, how much is it worth? For God, there is no price tag. And so there is no time for you and me to count up the cost. So now is not the time for you to get nervous about calling your representatives and wondering what you will say. Now is not the time to hold back that $20 to spend on a movie ticket and not to give to those who are waiting to be reunited with their children. Now is the time to ride the wave of God's love, which is burning for God's children. Because what we know is that it is better to be on that wave than it is to be in its way.